ನಮೋ ಭಗವತಿ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ
ಭಾಗವತಂ 6th canto 14th chapter ಟೆಕ್ಸ್ಟ್ 11.
This Chitraketu had 10 million wives, but although he was capable of producing children, he did not receive a child from any of them. By chance, all the wives were barren. Text 12.
Rupa daurya vayo janma,
vidyaishwarya shriyadibhi, sampannasya gunai sarvai, chinta bandhya paterabhut. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation: Chitraketu, the husband of these millions of wives, was endowed with a beautiful form, magnanimity and youth. He was born in a high family. He had a complete education and he was wealthy and opulent. Nevertheless, in spite of being endowed with all these assets, he was full of anxiety because he did not have a son. Purport: It appears that the king first married one wife, but she could not bear a child. Then he married a second, third, a fourth, and so on, but none of the wives could bear children. In spite of the material assets of Janmaishwarya Shruta Shri, birth in an aristocratic family with full opulence, wealth, education, and beauty, he was very much aggrieved because in spite of having so many wives, he had no son. Certainly his grief was natural. Grihastha life does not mean having a wife and no children. Chanakya Pandit says, Putrahinam griham shunyam. If a family man has no son, his home is no better than a desert. The king was certainly most unhappy that he could not get a son, and that is why he had married so many times. Kshatriyas especially are allowed to marry more than one wife, and this king did so. Nonetheless, he had no issue.
Chapter: King Chitraketu's Lamentation.
We have just begun the narration. Shukadeva Goswami is answering a question by Maharaj Parikshit. Maharaj yesterday gave it that twist. Why bad things happen to good people is a question which we always see floating around us. Here it's the twist is, how come good things happen to bad people? And here the good is not just some material benefit, but one of the highest specimens of advancement in material life is Indrapada, the post of Indra. One material universe has thousands and thousands and millions of planets, and there are at least 330 million administrative demigods. Demi means a half. They almost believe they are God. They have achieved it. Long life, beautiful body, no sweat, no body odor, good food to eat. They only eat food cooked in ghee. Sometimes people have this question, if these are the bosses of the universe, why don't we see them? So Prabhupada once hinted that Kali Yuga has made this place into such a degraded corner of the universe, he said the demigods won't come here to pass urine. For example, in your news, if you see what's happening in Iraq, would you like to take a summer vacation there? Bombs exploding every day, 30 dead, 80 dead, 200 dead, no law and order. So similarly, there is law and order, at least on paper, but not in reality. Not to poke fun at someone or at someone's expense, but Afghanistan is one country which went through hell, still going through it. It has a president. The president dare not come out of his capital. All his armies, all his police force is only in the capital. So Western newspapers, they joke calling him the mayor of Kabul. He is the president of the republic, the whole country. So those who have really power, the mafia, the gundas, militants, they say, well, if you have power, come and show it here. Come to our district. And he knows if he goes there, it could be anything, a rocket attack or a bomb under his car, anything, suicide bombers coming. So similarly, we get fire, air, water through the agency of these demigods, and we feel no one comes here to take their bill, nobody comes here to charge us, so it's all free. No, it's not free. There is a charge. During King Yudhishthira's time, there were pujaris, purohits, priests who would offer oblations in a fire sacrifice, and straight it would go to the demigods. They could see it. But just to show Maharaj Yudhishthira is such a special person, invitations were sent to the demigods personally, and they said, no need of any mantras, we will come personally. It is Yudhishthira Maharaj, we want to see him, we want to take his darshan. So Lord Krishna wanted to show how special is his devotee. So there was this time, roughly 5,000 years ago, that demigods used to come. So the chief of these demigods is a really prestigious post. And none other than this person is amazed. Fighting is no strange word for a person like Indra. He's very skilled in fighting, he's very adept. His Airavat is not to be confused with like a big, bulky elephant who can't be maneuvered here and there. Airavat is a mystic kind of elephant. Airavat was born from the churning of the ocean. He's one of the Ratnas. And just like people who have, they say, all the money and good taste, they also want the good things. So we read in the Puranas how some apsaras would be generated, especially Indra sometimes becomes so confused. He doesn't know who is friend and foe. Naranara and Rishi, none other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, in a form suitable for doing tapasya, was doing his tapasya. And poor Indra thought he is a competitor. Here is someone who wants my post. So he tried to choose some of the best singers and dancers. Prabhupada uses a very polite word, society girls, throughout the Srimad Bhagavatam, for apsaras and rambas and their ilk. So they all went there, and Naranara and Rishi saw that how childish. This person thinks, I want this post. Just like an adult may see a child clutching a candy, and if you say, show me what's in your palm, and the child says, no, it's mine. The adult may think, do you think I can afford this? I can buy thousands. He may show him a 1,000 rupee note. This can give so many of these. It's beyond the comprehension of that child. Similarly, when Krishna comes and he exhibits his opulence before these demigods, they can't understand. Name vidu sura gana. Krishna very candidly says in Bhagavad Gita, they don't know me. Name vidu sura gana maharshinam cha sarvasha aham adirhi devanam prabhavam na maharshaya aham adirhi devanam rishinam cha sarvasha. He says, Arjun, they don't know me because I am verily their origin. So Naranar and Rishi, he from his own mind created apsaras who were 1,000 times beautiful than the ones which were dancing near them. So Indra saw the new specimens and he forgot the purpose why he had come there. He got really attracted. He says, I should add this to my kitty. They also should come and dance in my sabha sometimes. And Naranar Rishi says, take them. And he happily went back. He came to foil somebody's tapasya and he was happy that, oh, at least I got some more addition to my repertoire of entertainment. So that's the whole mindset which a person, when he becomes Indra, finds himself in. So this Indra sees a foe, an enemy. He has dealt with them before. Maybe Vritrasur was a little of the tough variety. But then there was this Narayan Kavach. There was the Vajra, which was already supercharged, not super, but supercharged, transcendentally charged by Lord Hari. But at one point of time, we find Indra's mind giving him away. So it was Vritrasura's turn to give him a pep talk in the battlefield. Actually, the acharyas describe Vritrasura took the position of his guru. He says, don't despair. This is your fight. This is your duty. Take up your weapon. It's already written there. I am going to be killed. Kill me. Come on. Do it. And he was thinking, really? How come you have confidence in this and I don't have? So confidence in something is a gift bestowed by the Paramatma in the heart. Especially book distributors. Like last year, there was a discussion and some devotees who were newly started distributing books, they were saying that we are not pure devotees, therefore nobody buys Gita from us. So I said, well, if somebody buys 10, doesn't mean suddenly you become a pure devotee. No, we can't judge things in such a fruitive way. There are devotees who have helped the book distribution mission in such solid way, like Sachinandan Maharaj. But he doesn't get a big score when he goes out. But keep him in front of a team of book distributors, and he can really solve their issues. One more senior person, Rohini Sutta Prabhu, he said, I don't care if book distributors come in a room and just for 3 hours chant, Prabhupada, transcendental book distribution ki jai, jai, jai. He says, better than that, if someone can tell me how to deal with the modes when I'm in the street, I would care for that advice more than just glorifying it. Although it's not artificial. So these devotees, they say that, what happens? What's the inner process when somebody goes and says, this is a marathon and it's a discount price, it's normally 120, it's normally 60. You can say so many things. But essentially what's happening is, there has to be a connection between the Paramatma here and the Paramatma there. So instead of praying to the Atma, the soul, that Please take it, man. It's good for you. No communication. He can't understand your language. Just imagine you are standing at 5:35 at VT station, outside VT station, and you see these multitudes coming towards the railway station. What's there in everybody's minds? A million different things. Hope, despair, lamentation, enjoyment, bliss. Everything is there right now in one person's mind. And here comes an intervention. Bhagavad Gita. Do you think it's in the back of their mind that today I have to buy one Bhagavad Gita? No, it's never. We can hardly expect. In India, this is the case. What to speak of outside world where nobody has heard of Krishna. So the Paramatma is Krishna. So no problem. Anywhere in the world. Any species. Any part of the universe. The Paramatma is the same. So when these devotees are explaining in that book, when you pray to your Paramatma in your heart, not your in the sense your, but the Paramatma in your heart, please make his faith steady in what I say. Please tell him to take it. And when that person hears the Paramatma in his heart, and there are attested incidents where somebody has some problem with the book and he calls the temple afterwards by the phone number given there and he said, I don't know why I purchased that book. It's a fact. For those 25 seconds or so, his intelligence is completely covered. He gives his money and suddenly while he's going back home, he sees the book and he says, why did I buy it? I don't read books. I'm not into philosophy. Why did I purchase it? So this determination, it also comes from the Paramatma in the heart. So Vritrasura was giving this determination to Indra. And finally Indra could muster all his courage. He cut up his hand, another hand, and he came out. Then he had to spend 360 days sawing off his neck. And now we hear as to who was this Vritrasura. Very, very fascinating information Shukadeva Goswami is giving here, that there was this king, he ruled the entire earth, and he had 10 million wives. Tasya bharya sahasranam sahasrani dasha bhavan. Although he was capable of producing children, it is called here santanika. He could produce children, no problem with that. But his wives were all barren. So what to do? He was a Kshatriya king. He married one, no issue. Another one, no issue. Another one. And since there was a long lifespan, he was not doing anything illegal. Of course, there were his ministers, his spiritual teachers, they were advising him. So I was just thinking, Hinduism is traditionally derided or criticized as being fatalistic. Fatalistic means you don't need to try. What you have is already written here. You can't read it. So if we just look at this endeavor of King Chitraketu as aiming for a son, we are a bit culturally off, that's the right word, after 5,000 years of Kali Yuga. Many things we can't understand. Why would somebody be so insistent upon a son? Why not go for an adoption? Or, fine, if you don't have sons and all your wives are beautiful and you have Rupa, Audarya, Vaya, Janma, Vidya, Aishwarya, Shriya, enjoy life. Economists call them double income, no kids. The dinks. And they're very attractive for those who want to sell them household furniture, stereo system, bedsheet furnishings, new finance, a car. It's good if the husband and wife are both earning money and no kids. Hey, then they can go for a vacation every year. They can go for that expensive crockery set every year because they have much disposable income. So in today's times, we don't even know how to enjoy family life. It's being taken away. In the West, there are so many holidays, and they are crowding these holidays in the calendar, which have no religious or spiritual significance whatsoever. And people say it's better because take away the religion part of it. Even people of religion who have to celebrate the birthday of their founder, they prefer to call it Xmas. X means unknown. Why give it a name? So there is Father's Day, Mother's Day. Spend a lot of money on giving these cards, receiving these cards. But here we have the Vedic way of at least having a decent, comfortable material life. In the words of Chanakya Pandit, putram heenam griham shunyam. Shunyam here doesn't mean zero. Shunyam means basically a place where nothing grows. Desert, that's how it's aptly translated here. Plus, kings of yore had responsibility. In a perverted reflection, we find in today's times, many people are very eager to establish their own son as their successor without caring whether he has any qualifications or not. First of all, the father doesn't have in the first place. So how come the son will have? There have been notorious dictators, the father, ruthless character, and his son, really more than him. As they say in India, baap se beta sawai. So, like in Iraq, the fellow who was killed had two sons, and they were like terror personified. So therefore, today's secular mind tends to wash away everything which is given in the scriptures. Hey, we don't want this parampara system. The father, then his son, then his son, then his son. What if they are not qualified? Fine, there have been instances where unqualified people have been kicked out. But the fact is that qualified people put in place do behave responsibly. So King Chitraketu was behaving in a most responsible way. It's not like he would just go somewhere and add whomever he would like. In Maharashtra, there was one king like that. He would go in his palanquin, and any lady whom he would take fancy in the street would be just kidnapped. So just to make sure, this is not that thing which has happened here. Here is a person who was very well trained. So the question comes, how long should we try? When do we call it quits? That, what's the human end to our endeavor? Many would be tempted to think that, hey, wait a minute, if everything is already written, then why we should try anyway? Why bother? Why spend so much extra energy? There is this verse in our Niti Shastra, Hitopadesh. Yasmaccha yena cha yathata yada cha yaccha yavaccha yatra cha shubha ashubak atma karma tasmaccha tena cha tathata tada cha tatcha tavaccha tatra cha vidhatru vashadupaiti. It's scary. It says yasmaccha yena cha yatha cha yada cha yaccha yavaccha. The reason for what you're acting, yasmaccha yena, by whom something is going to come, yatha, that particular way in which you're going to see your day to day, yada, this particular day, cha yachcha, that particular time, yavachcha yatra, that particular place, shubha ashubha atma karma, whatever good and bad is going to happen in your life, tasmaccha tena cha tathacha tadacha tatcha tavacha tatracha vidhatru vashad upayati. Vidhatru is providence. By his force, vashad, you will get the same thing, the same place, in the same manner, the same reason, the same quantity. No escape. Roga shoka paritapa bandhana vyasanani cha atma aparada vrikshanam falanya etani dehinam. Narayan Pandit says, atma aparada vriksha, your own personal offense tree, aparada vriksha, has some fruits. And what are these fruits? Roga shoka paritapa bandhana vyasanani. The diseases which you are going to face, shok, lamentation which will come in your life, paritap, anxiety, bandhan, those things which will bind you, vyasanani, those calamities which will come in your life, they are not someone else's. These are the fruits of your own aparad offense tree. What to do? The Bhavans journal had asked a series of questions to many spiritual teachers. That one questionnaire came to Prabhupada. And the first question was, is Hinduism fatalistic? That means, if everything, like you're giving such a rattling of such big shlokas and everything is already decided, why do we act then? For whom do we act? So Prabhupada added this unique Vaishnava Vedanta perspective. That no, nowhere, even this verse is here, that everything is written and everything is decided, that doesn't stop you from doing your duty. Karmani eva adhikaraste. Krishna is advising Arjun. Karmani eva, you understand what your duty is and your adhikar is only that. Ma, no, don't even think in the other direction. Of what? Faleshu kadachana. For any time, or do not think about it any time, about the phala, the fruit which will come. You may say, okay, I do not think about the fruit, so what's the impetus for me to act? Mate karma phala hetur bhur. Also, seeing the karma phala, mate sanga astu akarmani. Seeing your karma phala coming towards you, don't get attached to non-duty or inaction or not doing it. And this is a typical case. Arjuna is seeing that I'm a warrior. What's my duty? Act. Hey, my acting means my grandfather will be killed. My teacher will be killed. I can see their deaths right before me. So therefore, oh Krishna, why should I engage in this ghastly warfare? Tatkim karmani ghore mam niyojayasi keshava. Arjuna is directly accusing Krishna. Why are you telling me to do this thing? So in essence, what Krishna is telling is, it's not me who is telling you. This is your duty. This is you who are supposed to act here. It's not me who's making you act. Of course, in a deeper sense, without Krishna's help, nothing can happen. But actually, what Krishna wants to teach Arjuna is, this is your warfare. It's not mine. Let's try to understand, what does Krishna say when he says your and mine? Your means you are attached to this thing happening in a certain way. You are attached to this thing happening in, not attached, it's happening in certain way. But me, Krishna is saying, I never do things in that way. There is never a thing which can make me attached or make me repulsed in the material sense. It's tough for us to understand. Krishna acts all the time. He jokes. He dances with other people's wives. He does everything. But then he explains that namam karmani limpanti name karma phale spruha. I don't have any aspiration for anything. And then he says, if you also desire that state of mind where you act but you don't feel the pangs of that action, be attached to me. That's the secret. So therefore, Prabhupada says no. Prabhupada cites in that lecture and in that conversation, Prahlad Maharaj, Sukham Indriyakam Daitya, Daiva Yogena Dehinam, Sarvatra Labhyate Daivat, Yatha Dukham Ayatnataha. Prahlad Maharaj is saying, just like you get misery without asking, you will get this pleasure without asking. But today, just like Anandam Prabhu that day shared information as to how everybody wants to be the number one business house in India. If this fellow worked for 14 hours a day, what if I put 16 hours a day? Then I'm one up, isn't it? See, it's just like people are standing, at least the traditional Indian example, there is a cinema house, the tickets are already sold, and people who want to watch the movie, they are waiting in a queue to go inside. What if you go there, you barge in the queue, and you don't have a ticket? The moment your turn comes and he says, where's your ticket? He says, I don't have one. Okay, get out. So going forcefully or standing there early before anyone else comes won't help. Because you don't have the ticket. Those who have the ticket, when they come and they show, okay, they are allowed inside. Similarly, some good incidents, good in the sense, some favorable. A person wants to go in a flight. He desperately seeks a ticket. Somehow he doesn't get it. The flight crashes. And he says, oh, saved. How come I was saved? I was desperately trying to get inside. And they say, well, your death was not to be. There is still some time. And then you have other experiences where somebody with his influence cheats his way, actually makes somebody, the whole family thing is cancelled. This fellow goes in, the plane crashes, and says, look, his death was destined to be here. So death caught him. For many people, this thing doesn't make any sense. It just gives them a fear. And what is that fear? Death can come anytime. There was this ad clip which was circulating around so many laptops previously. One computer game manufacturing company, they show a baby. That baby is born in the maternity ward and somehow goes zooming in the sky. And while zooming in the sky, that person goes through the Dehantara Praptir process from Yavanam Jara, Kaumara Yavanam Jara. He's actually old by the time, and he comes down in a box and the lid goes on him. So what they want to show is that life is short. So what's the advice? Play hard. Life is short, play hard. Enjoy more. You're going somewhere to enjoy and you see the yellow signal. India at least. What does yellow mean? Stop. The red one is just seconds behind this. And what do most people do? They just race ahead. And many times you make it. You make it. That means the red was there but nobody saw you. There was the red, but somehow you hoodwinked the police. The more you do this, it doesn't cure your habit. It makes it worse. Only to be caught one day. And then you have to pay a hefty fine. Similarly, Prabhupada says, in the external sense, somebody can cheat destiny a little bit here and there. You can find so many self-made millionaires. Oh, I came to Bombay with 40 rupees in my pocket. And now I have a 40-story building in Malabar Hill. Look at me. And you have these motivational speakers who say that, yes, you can do it. There is one fellow who makes his participants, they pay a hefty fee, and then he makes them walk on live coal. Can you imagine paying a hefty fee, going to somewhere for a motivational speaking session, and this guy makes you walk on live coal just to make you understand that if you want, you can do it. Sure, if you want, you can do it. You can change your destiny. But Prabhupada says, but not in the material sense. There are five main topics of the Bhagavad Gita. Ishvara, Jiva, Prakriti, Kala, Karma. Ishvara, the post is occupied. No vacancies. Jivas, so many. The more the merrier. They're all increasing every day. But can't interchange. The Ishvara, if he wants, can take the mood of a Jiva. The Jiva, when he takes the mood of Ishvara, comes here in this material world. So you can't enjoy and not be here at the same time. Prakriti is the mechanism through which the Jiva's moods are arranged, or his moods are, supplies are given to him according to his mood. If he's in a rebellious mood, material world. If he decides to change, come back home. Kala, time. Time is a background force which makes everything happen. And karma, karma is the law of reciprocation between you and Prakriti, between you and the Lord. When we are here in this material world, we have to act. And we act with some desires. The more these desires are dovetailed for the pleasure of Krishna, the more we become desireless. Desireless doesn't mean having no desires. That's not possible. That's not desirable also. That's not the goal of life. So therefore, the second question asked to Prabhupada was, so are we escapists? Has anybody of you been ever accused of, you are an escapist? Do your duty here. Don't just run off in some cozy corner somewhere and chant Hare Krishna and say, now I'm safe. Is spirituality or is spiritual life as a whole escaping from reality? Prabhupada says, yes. But we are escaping from their reality. Their reality, Prabhupada calls it dog's reality. That however you advance, you don't advance beyond a certain level. Some typical Prabhupada examples are, if you train a dog to perform a variety of tricks, maybe some old Bengali story where the dog knew so many tricks, he was put on a throne. He said, hey, he knows so much. He practically is fit enough to be our king. And then somebody showed a shoe and wow, 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 that dog just went tried to bite the shoe because that was his habit. So that is not escape from a king. That you are saying Maharaj ki jai, and then Maharaj goes to chew a shoe. So that's the difference. You can't elevate animals. You can glorify them, especially not so much in India. When Prabhupada started this thing about, you know, this person like a dog, it's like a dog's life, many Western devotees were feeling, what's the problem? I mean, dogs enjoy more than human beings in many places. Dog food is having so much protein. And there are dog clinics, dog resorts. They babysit dog, or what do you call it, puppy sit something for them. You keep your dog there for some time and they take care of it. So there is a family dog auditorium. Family dog is a most important member of your family, practically, in many families. There is one family here. They used to sponsor some Sunday feast. And they said, we were all so dysfunctional, but then our dog brought all of us together. So what is the position of the deities to bring the whole family together? The dog has to do that duty role sometimes. Fortunate dog. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is one poor fellow. He's so troubled by the daily grind, so to say, that in now too, but now they don't have so many astrologers of those caliber. But he goes and finds one. His name is Sarvagya. Lord Chaitanya is telling this story. So this man says, the first question, why I am so poor? Sometimes the questions reveal your mindset. People don't ask why I am troubled. Sanatana Goswami never said, why the Nawab is a nasty fellow? Why the prison was so bad with cockroaches crawling everywhere and stench of garbage and stool everywhere? He didn't say that. Why these tapatraya, why these three kinds of troubles, they trouble me? Pinpointing, what's troubling you? But unenlightened people, they ask questions like, why don't I get a good job? What's a good job? Good job? Well, at least 10,000 rupees salary a month. What will that give you? I'll be happy. Ask somebody who has it now and check whether he's happy or not. Well, even if it won't do for him, it will make me happy. I'm special. This is the illusion. There are people who are having 100 times more money than you and they are miserable to the core. There are people who haven't won any awards in a particular line or industry or creative faculty, whatever. And they are miserable. And there are those who have won awards and are miserable. So one Christian preacher says, be careful about your prayers. They could be answered. Because you don't know what to pray for. So the typical problem was, why I am so poor? And Lord Chaitanya said, well, actually, the astrologer told him, you're not supposed to be poor. Your father was very rich. In your very own household courtyard, there is a big treasure buried. So he says, really, how do I start? He says, don't go and dig in the southern direction, in the south. There is a wasp, an insect which will sting you. Don't go to the west either. There is an evil spirit. Yakshas are technically guardians of treasure. Sometimes also said, those who usurp somebody's money and don't use it for any good purpose, they have to take this post of a yaksha. That means you had this money, you never used it, but there is so much attachment, you can't give it up. So you become some evil creature and just stay there. And all those who come in searching for it, you also trouble them. Don't look in the northern side either. In the north, you will find a python which may swallow you. So Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami explains, the southern side represents rituals, plain formulae, old, moth-eaten kind of things which have no relevance in today's day and age. So these kind of blind rituals, if you follow, they won't help you. Most Vedic rituals, they come with a shelf life. Best before 6 months. So most Vedic ceremonies which grant you a boon, a son, a daughter, wealth, land, those bottles they have written there, best before Dwapar Yuga ends. Good for 3 yugas only. But we say, but this bottle is packed. Oh, it's packed. Nobody used it. That doesn't mean it will be useful now. The expiry date is gone. Then there is this idea of just plain old going for liberation. This liberation is something like you, the game of marbles. You play and lose. But every time your opponent gives you 10 marbles to start with. And in that playing, you lose all 10 of them. He says, okay, I'll give you 5 more. In utter frustration, you throw away your marbles and said, I don't want to play. Why? I never win. So in this game, even in transcendental life, you feel attracted towards liberation, as if every day I have to pray to someone. Why shouldn't I just feel the peace? You know, peace. I don't want any comforts. Take away all my luxuries. Take away all my sense gratification. Leave me alone. So leave me alone in a transcendental way is this liberation. But Bhagavatam says, careful. Vimukta manina. These people think there is liberation. But no. If your household bills keep on piling up and one day you just set fire to your house, you mean to say the creditors will forget that you owe money to them? Where is the evidence that, you know, we have copies with us? You may destroy your copies. Like, you may destroy the desires which you feel I have. The Paramatma knows everything. You may kill your mind, so to say, for some time. And he says, I have duplicate records, Baba. I know everything what you wanted. So that liberation is like a python which swallows us, a rat, alive, fully. He said, don't go there. But go in the east. And he says, in the east, if you dig a little bit, you'll find some sound of a utensil. And that's your treasure. So east is Lord Gauranga. Udilo Aruna Purab Bhage. Dvijamani Gora Amani Jage. Bhakata Samuha Loiya Sathe Gela Nagara Vraje. From the eastern direction, Lord Chaitanya comes with his devotees, and they're all with their arms raised are chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So that's the sum and substance of the Sarvagya story. The eastern side represents devotional service. No need to be attached to rituals, not to be attached to liberation, or to any other sort of thing called wealth, any other thing called, in this world, termed as opulence, any siddhis especially. But just the process of devotional service is a real treasure. So just to summarize, this endeavor on part of the king was not a mistake. He really tried his best. But why didn't get a son? Because something better was about to come. There are dogs and pigs who give birth to 10 at a time. So that's what people feel, that, you know, if they can have, you know, fish can give birth to thousands. So why can't I have a one? The fact is not whether Krishna was acting cruelly or not. Because of this particular situation where he didn't have a son, he got sadhu sangha. He got the association of great devotees like Narad Muni. And in fact, to tell the truth, the process of Chitraketu going back to Godhead hastened it. There was velocity in it. It speeded up just because of his lamentation. And then the thing where Lord Krishna made him insult Parvati Devi. So only in Krishna consciousness we can actually use this saying, all's well that ends well. And that we can be assured of. With Krishna promising, Nahi kalyana krit kaschid durgatim tat gacchati. Tat is a very endearing kind of address. It says, my dear, dear Arjun, I am assuring you, if you take this path, there will be no miserable end. My guarantee. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. So we shall stop here. Srila Prabhupada ki, Srila Radha Gopinath ki, Granthraj Madhbhagavat Mahapurana ki. Aye.